The Chicago Bears offense is starting to take shape at offseason organized team activities. And we're getting now a better sense of where Cole Kmet can find some room to work in this offense, how Tevin Jenkins is adapting to the new scheme on this lighter, faster offensive line, and how the whole thing seems to be, at least from what they're telling us, a better fit for what Justin Fields' skill set provides.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. On the show today, we hear from tight end Cole Kmet about what he's seeing from this offense, how he sees himself fitting in there, and why he's confident in not only his production potentially stepping up, but liking what he's seeing from Justin Fields as well. Then we'll check in with Tevin Jenkins on his efforts on the offensive line to slim down a little bit, get reacclimated at his college position of right tackle, and how that's all fitting into more of what this regime is asking the offensive line to do compared to the last regime. We'll wrap up with Matt Eberflus pointing to some of Justin Fields' strengths, and when you sort of combine that with what Cole Kmet said and Tevin Jenkins said, you can get a sense of what they want to do with this offense, and everybody saying that they seem to be wanting to do the right things for Justin Fields, at least saying that now in May. But let's start with Cole Kmet, because as we're getting into the third season of his career, right, we knew as a young tight end, the learning curve there and the production there takes time to build up. Rarely do you see a young tight end come into the NFL and have instant high production. I mean, Kyle Pitts was able to do that a little bit this year with Atlanta, but he's a little bit of a different story compared to most tight ends, not only where he was drafted, but his skill set, which is largely why he was drafted where he was. And he's a little bit almost more wide receiver-like than tight end, but different discussion. But so like we knew to try and be patient with Cole Kmet, and sometimes that patience has been thin, and sometimes it's felt like the progress hasn't been everywhere we want it to be. It was definitely a step up from year one to year two, and I think we're all looking for an additional step forward of some kind from year two to year three. That doesn't mean becoming a 1,000-yard tight end like George Kittle or whatever, but just, you know, progress. And given that the offense has some other constraints we're dealing with here, we shouldn't expect a massive leaps and bounds necessarily, but this is an offense that tight ends like George Kittle have had some real success in, and Cole Kmet was able to lend some of that perspective on sort of what he's seeing and some of the ways he feels like it's benefiting him, and then as a result, you know, Justin Fields and the whole offense.
What does this offense do that fits you well as you're running it here?
Yeah, you know, obviously we've been putting a lot in this past, you know, month and a half, 2 months, but you kind of see how the tight end's involved, you know, in the run scheme and off of that with play action, movements, and all those type of things, you know, can be really advantageous for tight ends. So, you know, you see guys around the league in similar offenses, you know, whether it was, you know, Tonyan a couple years back with Green Bay, or you look at obviously what George has done in San Francisco, and, you know, even look at some things with like Minnesota and things like that, how they've used tight ends in the past 5 years or so. Like you see those things and you can see how tight ends, you know, can get really involved in this offense.
Cool. You're always just human nature. You're always going to be optimistic about what you have been about what the offense can do. Is there something about this offense that differentiates or distinguishes your excitement about it? Or is this just kind of the same and you'll see?
I mean, like I said, it is a we'll see. But, I mean, I also I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get too much in detail with it. But, like, I mean, Justin's on the move a lot. And I think that's he does well with that. And that's been exciting to see. And you see the types of throws he can make with his legs and on the run and, you know, off schedule. You know, I know this is, like I said, no pads right now, but you see that type of stuff when it gets exciting.
You feel like they're taking better – this staff will take better advantage of what Justin Fields can do?
Well, I don't want to compare staff to staff. I'm just saying what I'm seeing right now, and I think it's been a lot of fun seeing him on the move and doing things like that.
It's important to keep in mind there are, you know, different ways of measuring tight end production, at least a little bit, in the sense that sometimes, you know, when we think about wide receiver, right, most of the time we're thinking of, like, catches and yards. And with tight ends, so often – you know, touchdowns can be such a more distinctive factor there, right? When he mentions Robert Tonyan having a big season for Green Bay a couple of years ago in the offense, you know, in 2020, Robert Tonyan's best season, he had 52 catches for 586 yards. And this past season, Cole Kmet had 60 catches for 612 yards, right? But we don't think of, like, Cole Kmet as having this great season, while Robert Tonyan, like Cole said, kind of felt like he had the great season. The big difference being Tonyan had 11 touchdowns in 16 games, and of course last year Cole Kmet had zero. And so much of that comes down to, you know, how the tight end is used and when and where they are targeted, and how last season the Bears pretty directly tried to force feed Jimmy Graham red zone targets, and Cole Kmet didn't get a ton of those. Kmet himself admitted there were a couple of red zone targets that he did get that he wishes he had back and he could kind of go do again. But I would expect this season to see more of that from Cole Kmet. And some of the things he was talking about, like movement for the offense, you know, in these stretch zone plays and then play action off of that, getting the defense flowing one way and then the tight end working off of that, right? You can see how you start to get some of these opportunities for some level of tight end production. We don't want to get too carried away with Cole Kmet, but you can see how he can find some room to work in this offense, and some of the ways that he started to in that second half of the stretch of season with Mitch Trubisky as well, when they switched to more of this style of offense. So it sounds like they're living up to these sort of expectations of what we're expecting from, you know, Matt Eberflus and bringing in Luke Getsy and having this sort of offensive system in place. We're seeing it as well with the offensive line having to make a bigger, even bigger, I think, adjustment to this scheme and what they're asked to do and how they're asked to move compared to under the previous regime. We'll hear from right tackle Tevin Jenkins. Yes, right tackle locked in right now, Tevin Jenkins, on what the offense is like and how he's had to sort of change himself and his body a bit this offseason to fit in. Next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is powered by our friends at Built Bars, the makers of the world's best tasting protein bars. And they're always coming out with new great products. And I tell you what, every time they send us something new to try, it is always phenomenal. And so now you got to try. They have now Built granola bars. They come in chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry flavor. You can actually get a mixed box of all three at built.com. But it's the perfect combination of, like, you know, that protein bar, you know, certainly the protein, and they're low sugar, low calories, high fiber, high protein, and that sort of like filling, lasting impact. But you get some of the more like the heartiness of the granola. It's much more of a fun, like, it's got a little crunch to it, some berry to it particularly in the white chocolate berry flavor. Like, you get this sort of variety of like texture and mouthfeel in addition to the sweetness and the great taste while still being great for you. Telling you, Built Bar has done it again. You got to try it for yourself. Head on over to built.com, enter in our promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I'm not a great math guy, but I think in terms of weight, well, no, I wouldn't be quite 15% that Tevin Jenkins has shed this offseason based on, well, we'll hear him say it in a minute about the weight he lost, but quick math tells me he'd less than 10% of his total weight, but his body fat percentage went down 9%. So you combine the two and we're getting close to almost 15% off Tevin Jenkins. Bro, whatever. Poor math quickly in my head. We're here to talk football and not do numbers, though. And so when we're talking about this offensive line adjusting in some of the ways that even Cole Kmet was talking about there, right? A lot of movement in that run scheme and play action off of that. That's going to require, you know, the offensive line to kind of get out in front and in a hurry. And it's part of why I think you saw the last couple of seasons under Matt Nagy some hesitance to fully flip the scheme in that way, because it, to some extent, as it seems to be from Tevin Jenkins, you know, they weren't asking the offensive linemen to be young and agile. If anything, they were asking the offensive line to be maybe a little bit heavier and a little bit, you know, not so much a bad way, but just more strength than finesse, right? They wanted to, I think they felt like earlier in, like in 2019 and 2020, that the offensive line wasn't strong enough and wasn't getting enough of a physical push up front. So, you know, gain some weight, some mass to be able to anchor and to be able to drive and really push guys off the line of scrimmage. And so it makes it then more difficult to try and ask, you know, a big Jason Peters, and obviously we'll hear Tevin Jenkins at a pretty high weight as well, to get moving a bunch laterally all the time is going to be a tough transition on an offensive line midway through the season. Probably still would have been worth it from Matt Nagy, but maybe that's something that was among their considerations that didn't get talked about a lot at the time. Because we'll hear from Tevin Jenkins here now that, A, he was pretty healthy once he actually got back out there, but he was also playing at a higher weight than you might expect. I'll note that the middle question in here, I think, is a little bit, or it's a little bit hard to hear some of the questions here from the media. But first question is, when did he feel back to normal about his back? Second question is wondering, you know, is the thought of his back injury still on his mind? Right? Is he still thinking about it when he's practicing? Like, you know, that is it going to be a problem again? Then he's asked about, is there a major difference in terms of the scheme of what he's being asked to do? And then asked again, like, was it difficult for him to slim down and to try and get to the weight that he is at now?
When did you feel back to normal last year? Did you?
Back to normal 100%. I would say, when did I come back? Week 12? Say around week 13. Started feeling good. I still feel 100%, and it's still carrying. And a lot of things that's been helping that is me doing Pilates now.
Okay.
So I just want to give. I'm name dropping my Pilates place right now. Superior Pilates. I believe in Lake Forest. If you guys want a good workout, hit up Chris. Really good.
How long? When you like to practice, you haven't put that down, but maybe when you do with training, does the thought of your back just leave your mind completely,
I have no thought about my back. I trust everything that goes into it, especially, like I said, the Pilates part, making your core strong. As soon as you have your core strong, all that, like, takes away from all any back pain you would have. So I'm not worried about the back at all right now.
Does it feel like a major difference what you're being asked to do this year versus last year with the scheme?
Yeah, it is a big difference. It's a lot more faster pace, more up-tempo, getting around, setting edges, all that stuff. And how that affects you is you got to slim down a little bit more and start getting, like, more faster, a little speeding up in certain areas.
Is that a huge challenge to do?
What part?
Slim down, being more, I guess.
I'm already slimmed down right now. I'm already down to 325. And last season I was up to 345. And I got down to, I believe at the end of last season, I was 33% body fat, and now I'm down to about 24. So slimming down it's difficult, but you have to be disciplined in yourself to make sure that you, like, stay on the right diet and make sure that your body does what it's supposed to do.
So a fairly significant change for Tevin Jenkins there. More so, I was a little surprised to hear him say he played at 345 pounds last season. That seems like a lot, right? I mean, I'm not an expert on anatomy. I say that very often on this podcast. I'm not a doctor, not an expert on anatomy. But, like, when you think about where players tend to weigh in, both their listed weight and you think about the combine or whatever and pro days and stuff, like, 345 is a lot, it would seem. But I don't take that to mean, like, oh, Tevin Jenkins was sloppy and out of shape. But, no, I would imagine it was perhaps more intentional from the organization to want him to bulk and add strength for some of the reasons we were talking about. And so I do wonder, or am curious, in this transition to the new scheme, as he drops weight, it was an emphasis of Ryan Poles to have them be lighter and faster. There is a trade-off there for the entire offensive line in terms of strength, of, you know, some of that weight you're losing is going to be at least somewhat partially muscle. Like he said, his body fat percentage went down 9%, and, you know, weight loss was about 20 pounds, and that's not going to be purely fat. And just in general, even if it were purely fat, just when you have less overall mass, there is less than mass for the opponent to have to move and displace in pass protection or in the running game. And so this is not me questioning whether it was a good idea for them to switch to the scheme. More so, I'm curious, how these players adjust to playing at a lower weight, and if there will be not a lack of strength, but just less strength, because you know not every single running play is going to be the stretch outside zone, get to the sideline stuff. That is more about your physical, your speed and location and getting out in front than it is truly being stronger and knocking guys off the line of scrimmage. But not every single running play is going to be in that vein. And of course, like pass protection to some extent is pass protection, one-on-one pass blocking versus pass rushers. Like if you're not quite as strong, but maybe if you move better, then you can stay in front of them better, right? It's just the fact purely that it's a trade-off of you do lose some strength when you go for speed, in the same sense that when you go for strength, you do lose some speed. And so will that be noticeable? Will there be times when it feels like the offensive line isn't quite, north and south getting the movement they want, even if they can much more easily get the east and west movement, and how that sort of plays out as we see this scheme unfold? I don't think it's a big concern in the sense that like a lot of teams run this system and don't have problems running the ball effectively, but it's just different when, you have these guys adjusting their bodies in this way and still getting used to how they're going to play at these lower weights. And if that takes a little bit more time to sort of relearn how you have to use your muscles in perhaps different ways or change your leverage a little bit more when you don't have as much strength. It's just little things like that that are part of this process behind the scenes that aren't as clearly just X's and O's changes for this offense. And all that being said, these X's and O's changes all sound like things that are very good for Justin Fields, and that's what's going to be most important in this process. And we'll hear from Matt Eberflus about what he's seeing from Justin Fields, where he's standing out in OTAs, and how this scheme sort of fits in with that next on Locked On Bears. So often last season, and really, well, especially last season with Justin Fields, but we talked about it some with Trubisky in the years before under Matt Nagy, during in season when we do our Friday podcast, putting together a game plan for how the Bears can, or what they should do to try and pull off a victory against that upcoming opponent. So often it felt like we were coming back to some of the same ideas of like the ways to maximize Justin Fields' skill set and minimize some of his weaknesses. And so often it was things that the Bears offense wasn't doing, but it seems to match with some of the things we've been hearing about so far today from Cole Kmet and Tevin Jenkins, right? This idea of utilizing Justin Fields' legs. It was one of the last things Cole Kmet said there. Like the offense has the run scheme and some play action off of that with a lot of movement. And he said he's seen Justin Fields on the move a lot, and his ability to make throws on the run and make sometimes extend plays and make throws that are off schedule, right? It seems like they're building that more into this Bears offense so far in OTAs, or at least they're telling us that they're building that into this offense so far. And like with what Tevin Jenkins said, right? Faster paced, up tempo guys getting around a bit more, speeding up, getting on the move, right? Those are all things we wanted to see last year done around Justin Fields. And it sounds like we're getting that foundation being put in place so far this offseason and in OTAs. And Matt Eberflus kind of expanded on it just a little bit more real quickly about like one of the other areas they're really seeing progress and growth and just sort of impressive play. It's not necessarily unexpected, but just impressive play from Justin Fields at OTAs.
You're in the process still of learning about the quarterback, Justin Fields. What's new in that regard? Is there anything that has popped out in this particular week of OTAs?
I would say, man, he throws a good deep ball. I would say that. I'm excited about that. And you can see it in the 7-on-7 and the 11-on-11s. And we're going to take our shots down the field. And, man, he does a nice job doing that. And that's what stands out to me.
So it's not brand new that Justin Fields can hit nice deep balls, right? We knew he could do that at Ohio State. We saw glimpses of him doing it, at times last season in this Bears offense when he was able to. But so often, right, there were problems with him having enough time to throw, or even just them actually calling plays with deep concepts built into them instead of forcing him more into those three-step drop, quick curls type of plays that just weren't utilizing his skill set to the maximum. And being able to sort of affirm the desire for those deep shots downfield plus the quarterback movement, and an emphasis on the running game, and then play action off of that. That can go so far toward creating an offense for Justin Fields and giving him more time to throw, even if the offensive line talent isn't exactly where we would want it to be at this point. Scheme can't make up completely for a bad offensive line, but you know, like we kind of saw sometimes last season and sometimes with Mitch Trubisky, right, that if you can roll him out and get him out of the pocket, it just keeps, you know, because then the whole defense will be flowing one way with the offensive line and the quarterback will roll the opposite direction. And then there'll be some created time there that it will take defensive players and pass rushers to go from the direction that the offensive line was going to stop, turn around, and then pursue Justin Fields. So it gives him more time to set his feet, load up, and launch the ball downfield. And it gives his wide receivers more time to get downfield and to get open and to get into their routes and into the concepts for Fields to be able to fire downfield. You can't necessarily run your entire offense that way. There are going to need to be times where your five offensive linemen need to hold up in pass protection. There's going to be times when, you know, it's just not, you're not going to run play action on 3rd and 12 with a minute to go in the game, right? You just, no one's going to be fooled by play action. It can't be the sole responsibility of the scheme to be able to make those things happen all the time. But every opportunity, you know, the play call, the scheme, the route concepts can be there to make everyone's job easier. And most importantly, Justin Fields' job easier as a result of making the offensive line's job easier and the wide receiver's job easier. That's a great thing for everybody. And then when you add in his ability to do the off-script plays like Cole Kmet talked about there, where, yeah, the protection does break down. He's not necessarily drawn up for him to be outside of the pocket, but for whatever reason, there was a blitz or whatever, and he has to escape and get out in front. And then we've seen him make those plays in the NFL when things are broken down. And it's just, whether it's a scramble drill or just something he had to extend on his own and find somebody open downfield, he's shown an ability to be able to do that in the NFL. You don't want to have to ask him to do those things. You want the offense on its own to be easy and successful and productive to where he doesn't need to be the hero and make those special plays, but you know it's something he has shown a capability of doing in his back pocket there, and he can pull it out sometimes absolutely when you need him to. The other thing I guess I'd say is that we're still getting more and more of these clips of Justin Fields throwing at Bears practice that the team will put out. And I, again, am hesitant and don't want to be, you know, Twitter scout watching quick footage of him throwing and saying, oh, his delivery and his mechanics look so much better, right? People are saying, like, he's got a smoother throwing motion and a smoother release. And it's easier to say that when it's a quick video and no one's wearing pads and there's not even a defense, right? That's not to say it isn't improving, but it's just to say, like, I'm not ready to jump to the full conclusion of, like, drastically changed and improved mechanics. Everything is fixed based on 6 seconds of practice footage from the sideline angle of just a camera zoomed in on Fields throwing into a net, right? We'll slow our roll a little bit there, but it does seem like there has been an emphasis in that area, and now, of course, clearly an emphasis in an offensive scheme that, from all accounts, seems to be a better fit for what Fields wants to do and is living up to the expectations we've set so far for what Luke Getsy should be doing scheme-wise for this young quarterback. We'd still like to see more personnel-wise for this young quarterback, and I have a feeling as early as next week, we could see a little more of something personnel-wise for this young quarterback. I think there's another, NFL-wide, I think there will be another slight wave of free agency coming next week. How much the Bears participate, I think there will be some, but it's not going to be like a drastic spending spree or anything, but I think you could see some more players potentially brought in next week and in the weeks to come here in the offseason. We'll kind of go through some of that logic and who's available and all that coming up soon here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So I hope you'll hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. Don't forget the Locked On Podcast Network is your team every day. So if you're looking for that second listen, we've got great Locked On Bulls podcast, Locked On Cubs, Locked On White Sox, Locked On Blackhawks. We've got your Chicago sports covered across the major sports leagues, plus tons of college sports podcasts. We're always adding more in that department as well. We don't have everybody yet, but there's hundreds of colleges to get to. So plenty of good Locked On podcasts to listen to when you're done with Locked On Bears. But I hope that our podcast, breaking down your Chicago Bears, makes it that much easier for you to bear down.